Come on, turn to somebody beside you and say, I'm thankful for the legacy life. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Oh, I'm thankful for it. It's a real thing. It's not just a name. It's a real thing. And you say, well, I don't have that. I don't have that generational blessing from five generations. I'm not a fifth generation preacher. And I don't, you know, I don't have that. Well, you can start a legacy. Amen. Right with you, you can come up under that blessing that's in this family of believers in this house, and from you and your children and your children's children, they can walk in that legacy life, that generational blessing. Amen. It's laying your life down now with a hope, with a future for future generations, believing for what God wants to do in future generations. Amen. I believe it bears importance of repeating that the legacy life is not a selfish life. It's a selfless life. The legacy life, this life that God has given us as a believer to live a life for future generations, it's not selfish, it's selfless. It's a life that believes and hopes and lays down its own agendas and plans, believing for the future, for future generations. It's important for us to realize that. You can find through this state, if you follow this, if you drive around this state, you'll find people who are retired that are driving Winnebagos and motorhomes, and they have stickers on the back of their motorhomes that says, I'm spending my children's inheritance. And as it is in the natural, so it is in the spirit. A lot of times, spiritually speaking, we spend our children's inheritance because we only live for our own selfish gain and what we can get out of the moment, what we feel. But we shouldn't live by what we feel. We should live with a hope and a future for future generations. Amen. That's a selfless life. So I want to commend those of you that are doing that here at the house. I want to thank God for those of you that are living your life for future generations. Amen. It's important. They would sell literally to build the great cathedrals. I've been all over the world. I've been to 37 nations now. And I've seen some of the most beautiful cathedrals that were built. Took hundreds and hundreds of years to build them. And to build them, they had to think generationally. They had to think legacy life and live it. So their families, they would sail treacherous waters so that they could get seedlings and sow them beside that building that they were building, that cathedral. So 100 years later, three generations over, they could harvest that timber and continue the building of God's house. In the church today, in America especially, with the Minute Maid mentality, everything has to happen now, and if it doesn't happen now, then I want to find another place. But we need to be a people that build generationally and think about future generations. Can somebody say amen? That think beyond our own selfish wants. Well, I want a better children's program. I want to go where there's a better children's program. We'll start one. Amen. We say we're apostolic and prophetic, then be that. To be apostolic and prophetic means that you are able to start something and see it through. You can build it. You can plan it. Come on, somebody. You can grow it. You can nourish it. But it's easier sometimes. It's easier to go somewhere where everything is established and we can sit and we can feel warm and fuzzy. And then we wonder why, years and years later, we just still have more vagabond Christians. We got people that are wanderers. I'm a wanderer. I get around. We got people still moving and looking for their place in this world, looking for a reason, looking for their place in this world. And then all they had to do is stop and make one, build one, establish one. But not only for them, but for future generations. Laying my life down to build for my children and my children's children. So I just want to commend you. I really felt that when I saw my dad up here shouting and I was behind him on the drums. I've been behind him on the drums since I was four. He put me on a set of drums when I was four in a church service and I kept playing and I'm honored every time I can do it. Every time I can't hear over there. I don't know how you play by faith, buddy. There is no monitor and there are no headphones. So I went to do a drum roll once or twice and I thought, oh no, I missed the beat. My mama, she's playing over there and I can't hear it from over there to over there. But anyhow, I'm telling you, when I saw my dad and them playing still 50 something years later, I thought, thank you for the legacy I have. Amen. Amen. Thank you. How many are thankful for your legacy? That's your inheritance. It comes down. And you have to transmit it for future generations. It can't stop with you. You have to let it flow through you. Amen. So I'm honored to be here. I love the pastors in this house. Amen. Aren't you thankful for Dr. Yune and Pastor Mac? Come on, can you thank God for them? What a blessing. What a blessing they are. They are doing so good. They make me Papa proud. I am Papa proud. I know that when I'm away that they are carrying out the business of this family and with your best interests at heart. They love you and are they want to make sure that they represent Jesus, your heavenly Father, and me as their spiritual father, and they're doing such an amazing job. Can we just give God praise once again for them? Oh, come on. Thank God. Amen. I love you guys. I do. I love y'all. Every time I talk to them, too, we'll get on the phone, and we think we're going to talk for a few minutes, and it ends up how many hours, whatever we're on. We have church on the phone, and we talk about what God's doing, and every time we get to talk, I'm just so blessed, and every time I can watch online or something that you guys are doing on Facebook or Instagram, I'm blessed. So I just want to say thank you from the bottom of my heart. Me and my wife, thank you so much for who you are and all you do for this family. Amen. And for every elder and every deacon, all of you that have stood with this vision, I just want to say thank you from the bottom of my heart. Amen. Can we thank God for our elders and our deacons? Every member, every family member in this church that serves, whether it's behind the scenes or in front of the scenes. Tom, I love you, man. I love you, man. I'm proud of you. Everybody that does all this. Megan, I love you back over there behind that curtain. You guys are awesome. Amen. Can we give God praise for all of the family? Amen. Now, we have tonight together for a little while and then Sunday morning. So I'm going to lay a little bit of groundwork tonight, and then we will play cleanup Sunday. Is that all right? I feel like Holy Spirit's going to do some things tonight, so I'm just going to set the table, and we'll flow a little bit and see what all he wants to do tonight. And then if you want to hold up a pen or a paper and let me know when we have to be out of here, because I do realize we do have perimeters. And sometimes I am just totally Pentecostal, and I do not. It's very hard for me with all that. So if you'll just help me, help a brother out. Okay. So I want to look at some things. The Holy Spirit put some things in my spirit. Some of you have probably caught some things that we've been saying prophetically on Facebook, on Instagram. You may have watched some of when we ministered for Cindy Jacobs this last year for Global Prophetic Summit. Some of you may have got to watch some of our teaching there. So I'm not going to go back and go through everything that I've seen or that I've been sharing, but I want to give some seeds to you concerning what I believe God is doing in 2020 and beyond, and what our role and what our place is in that, both locally and globally. Amen? So look at your neighbor and say, I've got 2020 vision. Look at your other neighbor and say, I'm seeing double. I'm seeing double. Come on, say, I'm seeing double. Just wipe your eyes and say, I'm seeing double. Come on, anybody see double in the house? When you look at 2020, you see double. You see a doubling of what's going on. And my mom is putting her hand on my wife and declaring double. I see it happening already. I can tell you, when I preached double, I can remember the place when the Holy Spirit spoke to me. It was 1997. In 1997, I had preached before on the Elisha's double portion, but never like this moment. I was preaching at Dr. Bill Hammond's for their conference in Santa Rosa Beach. And as I was preaching there for Christian International, this anointing came on me, and I was preaching on the Elisha's double portion. And in the process of preaching on the Elisha's double portion, I looked at the kid's mother, and I looked, and I said, and she'd had two miscarriages. I said, you will give birth, you will conceive, and you'll give birth in 98, and it will be a sign of the harvest. And then I went back to preaching. I should have known that we were going to have twins. A year later or so, on 9/8/98, we were blessed with Destiny, Mariah, and Zoe Noel Fowler, our twin daughters, who are now 21 years old. And recently, Holy Spirit came back to me, and he reminded me of that, and he told me that we were moving into seeing double. There was a doubling coming to the church, a doubling of harvest, a doubling. Come on, do you believe that? Literally, you'll see it, Masikila Bahaya, all over the world, globally. You'll see a doubling. You're going to see more and more people saved in this hour than we've ever seen in history. The body of Christ will double. And here's what he said to me. He said, you'll double between now and 2025. He said, and then you'll double again. There'll be a doubling of the doubling. Look at your neighbor, say a doubling of the doubling. Mm-hmm. There will be a doubling of the doubling. And then there's a double portion of the anointing that's coming upon us as well. And so when you look at 2020 and you see this passage, I want you to begin to see the double. Say the double. I want you also to see that God is giving you perfect eyesight. He's beginning to cause you to see forward like you used to see backward. Somebody said hindsight is 20/20. A lot of times we can look back and say, I see it now. But God's going to begin to cause you to see forward more clearly than you see your past. Come on, lift your hands. I just prophesied to somebody. Some of you can look back at your past and you can see it clearly. But God says, I'm going to cause you to see the way forward more clearly than if you were looking backward, looking at where you've been from. Glory to God. So I'm giving you 20/20 vision. I can remember years ago I played basketball, and I defied that lie that white boys can't jump. I could jump back in the day. I didn't say I can now. I just say I used to could jump. Now I think about it, you know, but I used to could really get up, you know, and could slam in a game. I actually did. I could actually slam the dunk. My mom was right there as a witness. I made 37 points in a basketball game. I set the Florida record for three-pointers. I had 8 in the game. So I used to be pretty good as a basketball player. But I remember practicing one day, and this kid, Russell Voisel, turned real quick, and I was trying to move, and we hit head-to-head. And my eye was bleeding, and my dad and my mom rushed over there, and they got me, and they took me to that little clinic, and they had to sew my eye up. And I remember that day when they sewed my eye up, they checked my vision to make sure my eye was okay. And I was better than 20/20 in this eye, and then I was 20/20 in the eye that was hit. Still, even though it was hit, I was still 20/20. And I can remember going back, getting the stitches out. They re-examined this eye, and I was better than 20/20 in both eyes. I didn't know there was such a thing. But I learned that day that you could actually have better than 20/20 vision. In the earth right now, we have a church, for whatever reason, that's not been so prophetic. It's been pathetic, if you really want to say. We have churches that are stuck in ruts. Ruts are graves with the ends kicked out of it. We keep repeating the history, the same thing over and over, expecting different results. But God is giving us a church that will see prophetically and see the way forward, where we'll begin to see the double portion and the double harvest that he's been declaring for generations. My mom's dad preached. My mom's dad, my grandfather, Grandpa Geyer is what I call it. He moved in the prophetic. Grandpa Geyer, he would say there's a day coming when there are apostles that are coming. He told my Uncle Johnny this. He said the apostles are coming. The prophets are coming. There's a mighty move of the Spirit coming. He foretold this day would come in the earth. There's been people like Smith Wigglesworth that prophesied there's a day coming to the church that not one sick person will leave. Catherine Coleman prophesied there's a day coming to the church that not one sick person will leave the church, that everyone that comes in sick will be healed. There's come on somebody, there's been prophets and leaders and people that have prophesied for years about this hour that you and I are in, about this day that you and I have moved into. 20 plus years ago, I was on a trip to Orlando, Florida, a literal trip. I was driving and I lost over 75 miles. I don't know if the Lord picked me up and transform me, whatever you want to call it, transported me 75 miles. I don't know if I was in a trance for that long, but I can tell you I was on I-10, and then all of a sudden I was on 75, and it was a different place. And I can tell you in that time, the Lord downloaded into me, and he told me the day that was coming. He spoke to me about this hour. He spoke to me about what he was going to do through 555, through 12-12-12, and then he began to speak to me about 2020. He began to speak to me about a generation that the young and the old would dance together, and they would fill stadiums, and they would worship. And listen, it's happening right now. It's already happening. It happened here last year, a year early. A year before we thought it would happen, it happened right here. And that birthed forth a move that just happened in Brazil. You know, I was just in Brazil 2 years ago. I stood in Brazil in Rio, and I prophesied that who the president would be. And I prophesied that the president would bow his head, and he would say, Jesus is Lord, over, and that God would raise up fire starters in Brazil and fling them like coals of fire off the altars to the nations. The leaders from Brazil called me when that president was elected, like we prophesied, and said, it's coming to pass. It's coming to pass. Well, just 2 weeks ago, maybe a week and a half or so ago, they just filled not one stadium, three stadiums with 180,000 people. And the president of Brazil showed up and bowed his head and said, Jesus is Lord over Brazil. Are you in this house? You say, why are you saying that? You say, are you saying that to boast? No, I'm saying that to tell you we are living in the fulfillment of prophecy. It's happening faster than we can declare it. It's happening right now. It's literally unfolding as we speak. I can be in services sometimes and prophesy something, and before I leave, people come over to me and tell me it's already happened. It's already done. 2 days, just last week, I had an interpreter from Brazil call me. He works in commodities. He might be watching now. He works in commodities. And he told me, he said, can you pray for me? He says, I need to see some debt erased, and I have some people that owe me a lot of money. And he says, I need to see that money released to me. Will you pray for me? So I prayed for the day. The next day we talked, we scheduled a time to talk. And I was talking with him, prophetic coaching for a minute. And after I shared with him for a second, I said, hey, I want you to know that the Lord says there's a small debt that somebody owes you that you're to forgive. If you'll forgive that small debt, the Lord says that he's going to begin to release the money that is owed to you. Somebody that's a man of God owes you a small amount of money. He couldn't remember it. My wife was there. He couldn't remember it when I shared it with him, but it didn't matter. We prophesied it to him. He got off the phone. A few minutes later, he texts me. He says, it's just a little bit of money. He says, is this okay? This is all they owe me. Should I forgive this amount of money? I said, yes. In fact, I said, sure, in a WhatsApp message. I said, the Lord says you're going to forgive this, and it's going to release the money. He forgave it, and he contacted me the next day, 2 days later. He says, who are you? That's what he said. He said, who are you? He said, as soon as I did that, he says, in 48 hours, I had $15,000, U.S. dollars, released to me that somebody had owed to me since 2013. He said, I didn't contact them. They contacted me and released the $15,000. few minutes later, and in the word, the Lord was very specific. The Lord told me to be, for him to be careful. There was a company that he was working with. And in the name, I said, I see in the name blue. It's blue something. And I said, I don't know if it's in your language or in my language, but I see the word blue. And the Lord says to be careful with that company, not to invest your time with it. But there's another company. And I said, there's something to do in the logo with red. I said, that's the company you're supposed to work with. Now, that's how the Lord was speaking to me. I didn't understand why he would speak in colors. So he says, he starts freaking out. He says, the name of the company is blue something. He said, then he sends me the logo of the other one and it's red. And so then we know that God's speaking. Well, then he contacts me. Listen to me. 48 hours later, this is how God's fulfilling prophecy right now. This is how fast God's word has come to pass. He contacts me and he says, we just signed a contract. He says, and for the next 12 months, they're going to pay me $25,000 a month. This is a man that was 48 hours late earlier, not able to pay his bills, but he forgave a debt. He listened to the word of the Lord, and it shifted and released finances to his life. Come on, somebody lift up a shout in this house. You say, why are you talking about that? I'm telling you, on a global scale, we have a president that just bowed his head in Brazil and said, Jesus is Lord. In America, we have a president that says, Jesus is Lord. And on a personal level, God is concerned about your finances and he'll see your needs come to pass. Acceleration. But you got to begin to see the way heaven sees. You got to lift your perspective. You have to see from a heavenly perspective. You have to set your vision higher. Now I will read some scripture, just so you know that I'm in the book tonight. 2 Chronicles 20. You knew I was coming here. 2 Chronicles 20. I don't have time to unpack all of it, but the 2020 verse that we've been declaring for 20 plus years, that in the year 2020, this, you go back, you can listen to prophecies from this church. You can hear us declaring for years now. You can hear us declaring that in 2020, this was going to happen. You can go to Apostle Tammy Chisholm's archives. You can find us preaching in year 2006 at a conference at her church. We declared that in 2020, this would begin to happen. And from 2020 to 2025, we would begin to bring in the harvest and bring in the spoil. This is how far back this goes. This is not something new. God said it, and we're seeing it fulfilled right now. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 14. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph in the midst of the assembly. And he said, listen, all you of Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours but God's. Come on, somebody. I come to prophesy to somebody. This battle doesn't belong to you. Turn to your neighbor and say, God's got this. He said, tomorrow go down against them. They will surely come up by the ascent of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. You will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you. Just jump up on your feet. Tell somebody, God is with you. Come on, tell somebody, God is with you. And if God be for you, who can be against you? God is with you. God is with you. I said, God is with you. You and God are a majority. Woo. Now let's look at this. Let's look at this. Let's back this down. This is what Holy Spirit said to me. I asked God, what do you want me to say to Legacy? I don't want to just say what I'm preaching everywhere. What do you want me to say to this house tonight? And this is what he told me. He told me in my sleep. I love it when he talks to me in my sleep. Sometimes he's got to put you down to get your attention. Last night, he put me down and he spoke to me in my dreams. How many know he seals your instructions in your dreams? Job 32, he'll seal your instructions in your dreams. So I want you to look at this. I want you to look at who he used. He used the youngest of the prophets. He chose the youngest of the prophets. He chose someone that they wouldn't normally expect to be moved upon to release the word. He chose the youngest. So you got to be open and be willing to hear God from people and that you probably don't expect. They might not have gray hair like me. Come on, somebody. Hello, you need to begin to expect God to speak through your children. Mm-hmm. So let's look at the genealogy. So it's starting with Asaph, coming from Asaph, which means gatherer. He says, he's years, generations prior, he looked at Asaph and he said, I'm going to gather and I'm going to raise up someone who will release the word, that will release breakthrough when you're surrounded by three armies. He knew years in advance, generations, not just one. Look at this. Asaph, Levite, Mattaniah, Jael, look at that. Benani, Zechariah, Jehaziel. How many generations God planned and he set it up that generational blessing would come upon one and it would flow. That legacy life would flow all the way through and it would prophesy in the day when they needed a breakthrough, when they needed, come on somebody, in the day that they would need favor. God knew that they would be surrounded by three armies. He knew that the odds would be insurmountable. He knew that there was no way they would have breakthrough. And he knew that there would need to be a prophet that would come from that legacy lineage that would stand up and release the word of the Lord at the moment that they needed it. So he started with Asaph. He started with a gatherer. He started with a generation that would gather in the harvest. He started with a generation that were gatherers. You'll never see double if you don't gather. You'll never see the double if you don't gather. Many of us know how to sow seed, but we don't know how to reap a harvest. Some of us flippantly sow seed, and we don't go back and look for the harvest and reap it. This generation must gather if we're going to see the double. That's why the evangelistic is being coupled with the prophetic. That's why God is bringing that ox anointing with the eagle anointing. That's why we're going to begin to put in the sickle and bring in the double portion of harvest like we've never brought in before. Why? Because it's a gathering anointing. And upon that gatherer, he said, next, Levite, of the tribe of Levite. What does he mean? Of the tribe of covenant, of the tribe of those that are joined, not those that are least loosely connected, but I want to bring a gather. I want to gather a people together, and I don't want them just to be together. I want them to be joined together in covenant. He said, and through covenant, they're going to give birth to an offspring that will prophesy my word one day that will release the victory. Well, I'm a little bit more excited than you are. He says, so I'm going to use the tribe of Levite. I'm going to raise up some joined people, some people that understand covenant. Come on, some people that understand how to walk together in unity. He said, and from that, I'm going to give birth to a Mattaniah generation. I'm going to give birth to the gift. I'm going to give birth to the gift. That's what it means. Mattaniah means the gift of Jehovah. He said, I'm going to raise up a gift, a generation who are gifted. They're gifts of me. I'll release them to release my gifts in the earth. Come on, raise your hands. And he said, from that generation, I'll give birth to a Jehiel generation, one who will sweep away the plans of the enemy. It means God sweeps away. He said, I'm going to give birth to a generation that have come on the scene, that they're going to sweep away the plans of the enemy. They're going to sweep away everything that has come against my church. Come on, lift your hands up. Come on, there's a sweeping move of God. There's a sweeping move of the Spirit. There's a sweeping, come on, talk about deliverance. There's a deliverance anointing coming upon the church. My God, it's not just for the 80s. We need some people that will be some demon busters and some devil butt kickers in this generation and sweep out the house. A Jehiel generation. One that allows God to come in and sweep away the plans of the enemy. Hallelujah. Lift your hands up. He said, and after that, after I've given birth to a people who gather, to a people who unite and join together in covenant, after I've given birth to the people that move in the gifts of my spirit and are gifts of God, I'll give birth to that group of people who will sweep away the plans of the enemy. And he says, then I'll release a Benoni generation, who means Jehovah has built, Yahweh has built up. I'll raise up a building generation. I'll raise up an apostolic generation. I'll raise up an apostolic and prophetic company that will begin to build my house. And you are built upon the foundation of apostles and prophets and Jesus Christ himself, the chief cornerstone, Ephesians 2 and 20. I'll raise up builders like Paul. I'll raise up master builders that will build my house. A building generation. I'll raise up prophets like Haggai and Zechariah, who will stand with the Zerubbabels of their day, and they'll prophesy to my house, and the house will be built and will be strong. I'll raise up Nehemiahs. I'll raise up a building generation. Oh, lift your hands up. Builders, builders. This is where we've just been. We've been in builders. Builders have been arising. And then he says, I'll raise up a Zechariah generation. I'll raise up a generation that God remembers. Jehovah remembers. I'll raise up a generation who remembers. I'll raise up a generation that Jehovah remembers the promises that he gave them. Oh yeah, Joseph, you were sold by Potiphar. You were sold and you were left in prison and you were forgotten, Joseph. You were forgotten by the butler. You were forgotten by the baker, but I will remember you, Joseph. And 2 years later, the Bible says, they remembered Joseph. And I prophesy over you, you're gonna be remembered. They're going to remember some people that hear the voice of the Lord. Ha, ha, ha. They're going to remember some Pentecostals. They're going to remember some charismatic, prophetic people. Yeah, them people that they isolated and put over to the side and sold into the prison and thought they were crazy when they had their cute little complacent churches. They'll remember the prophetic people. They'll remember the apostolic people. And they'll call for them because Pharaoh will have a need. The kings and the queens and the leaders will not have answers for the problems in this day. How do we heal the land of this virus, they say? How do we heal the land of this virus, they say? I'll raise up prophets who will release the word of the Lord that will cause that virus to fall, says the Lord. Oh, lift your hands. Woo. Woo. Yay. Yay. Sakabaha. I don't know if you're with me. I'm in another place than you are. Hey. Sikalahata. Yay, Kisukumahaya. I'll raise up a prophet. I'll raise up a prophet who will give him an answer, says the Lord. I'll turn this virus. You watch and see. I'll turn it. I'll turn it. It'll eat itself up and it will stop, says the Lord. Yay, Kisikalahateheaha. Iremosupaya. And great problems and great needs. Financial, economic problems and darkness that faces the earth. I'll raise up people that have been forgotten and they'll call upon them, says the Lord. They'll be remembered and they'll release the answer. Woo, lift your hands. I prophesy over you, you are remembered. I prophesy over you that you are no longer forgotten. You are Beulah. You are Beulah. You are married to the Lord. You are remembered. And they will remember you on the jobs, the CEOs and the presidents. And they will remember you in the courts. And they will remember you in government. And they'll call upon you for the answer, says the Spirit of the Lord. Oh, lift your hands up. Thank you, Jesus. You'll be remembered. You'll be remembered like Joseph. Who I will remember you, and I'll cause them to remember you. Woo, Jesus. From God remembers, from Jehovah remembers, it causes a remembrance of the people. You will have favor with God and favor with man. You will increase with favor with God and favor with man. And then from this place, he says, I give birth to a Gehaziel generation. I give birth to those that will be held of God. They will be beheld of God. God will look upon this generation, a generation like no other, a generation that he beholds. He says, they are mine. And upon this generation, upon the Gehaziel generation, he will release a sure word, a word that will not fall to the ground. And when there are insurmountable odds, they will prophesy. And the enemy will turn on himself. Oh, lift your hands. He will turn on himself. Three armies surrounded them. You were singing tonight. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. They were surrounded by three armies. But they just had to have a heavenly perspective. They just had to come up higher and sit with him in heavenly places and see it from God's view. God lifted them up through a word. You know, a word will lift you up out of darkness. One word will lift you up out of despair. One word will change you. And Gehaziel, in the middle of all of this, they're trembling, they're shaking, they're outnumbered. It's impossible. And the youngest of the prophets, I don't know what he looked like. He might have been frail, he might have been strong, he might have been tall, he might have been short. I don't know. It doesn't give us the account. But this young man stands up and he says, you do not need to fight in this battle. Send Judah first. Send the praisers first. Send the worshipers first. What? We don't need a weapon? He said, no, your worship is a weapon. Your praise is a weapon. They said, no. There has to be just send Judah first. Just send the worshipers first. Bible says that Jehoshaphat, he bowed down to the ground. He received the word in humility. And this is what has to happen with this generation. We have to have some pastors and apostles and senior leaders that will hear the voice of the Lord through those that don't seem like the ones that should be bringing it. It might look different. They might be tatted up. They might have hair out here like this. They might be young. They may have just got saved. Just came into the church. We need to hear the word of the Lord. And Jehoshaphat bowed himself and he received the word in humility. Hallelujah. Jehoshaphat means Jehovah has judged. He said, I received this word, just like in the Bible says, let one prophesy and another prophesy, and let another judge. So Jehoshaphat comes. Jehoshaphats are needed to rightly discern the word, to judge the word. Jehovah has judged. This word is the word of the Lord. It is true, and I bow, and I receive this word. Can you imagine it? They're going out into what looks like utter destruction. Let me break it down for you. Right now, this building is surrounded by gangs. Right now, people have clubs and they have guns and they have switchblades and they're out that door right now. And they've surrounded us. Three gangs here with all their signs, whatever they're throwing, and they're all around. And they tell you, if you come out of here in the name of the Lord, we will kill you. And I say to you, we don't need to fight men. Send the ladies and the worshipers to go out and sing them a song. I'm trying to help you. Well, let me break it down a little bit more. Let's see. We have terrorist groups, Islam. We have all these different groups around us, and they're out there because we worship the Lord, and they want to kill us because we're against their God, Allah. And I say, you don't need to fight. You don't need your piece that you're packing. Ted, Dad, put it away. You don't need it. And you're like, where are they at? I say, leave your guns, go out, lift your hands, and worship the Lord. Does that make sense now? This is where they're at. The armies were so big that they couldn't even count their camels. That's how large the armies were. They sent out worship. And they begin to sing, blessed be the name of the Lord. They begin to sing, the Lord is good and his mercy endures forever. And as they sang, something happened. The enemy didn't know what was going on. It scrambled their communication systems. They started miscommunicating and a scrambling effect took place. And all of a sudden, as the song began to go forth, they turned their swords and began to kill to the sound of the praise on their enemies. And all they had to do is sing a song while the enemy destroyed each other. Debt destroying disease. Disease destroying divorce. Divorce, come on, destroying depression. Whatever it is, your enemies will turn on themselves as you lift up a praise. Get up on your feet and lift up a shout. Oh, come on, lift up a shout. He said this, and when he consulted with the people, just remain standing, he appointed those who should sing. Keep playing, that's good. He appointed those who should sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of holiness. And as they went out before the army and were saying, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. Now, when they begin to sing, just begin. La, 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 la. They just started. And when they begin to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. For the people of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir to utterly kill and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, they helped to destroy one another. Verse 24, so when Judah came to a place overlooking the wilderness, when your praise comes to another level. Come on, talk to me. When your praise ascends. When Judah came to a place, yeah, high praise. When Judah came to that place of elevation, watch this. Said, when Judah came to a place overlooking the wilderness, they looked toward the multitude, and there were the dead bodies fallen on the earth. No one had escaped. When Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away their spoil, they found among them an abundance of valuables on the dead bodies and precious jewelry, which they stripped off for themselves, more than they could carry away. And they were 3 days gathering the spoil because there was so much. That's what happens when you come up higher. Judah means praise. When your praise is elevated, when your praise is lifted, it releases the spoil. It releases the abundance. Elisha and his servant, they were surrounded. I had it in my notes. They were surrounded. And Elisha, his servant, says, my Lord Elisha, we're surrounded. And he said, I pray that you open his eyes and let him see that there are more that are with us than are against us. And the Bible says that the servant looked and he saw that the encampment of the Lord, the angel army, was around the enemies. Jesus was on the cross. He was surrounded by hell. And they were laughing. But little did they know, heaven had them surrounded. Jesus lured them in to take them all out. And when he got up, we all got up. Same thing happens with you and I today. Double is released. A Sunday, if the Lord allows me to, I'm going to talk about double for your trouble. And I'm going to go really long for double. I'm not saying I'm going to preach long. I'm going to go long. We're going to score. We're going to go double. And we're going to release the double over you in another dimension than what we've ever seen. Now, here's what the Lord said. He said, 2020, from now to 2025, there will be a doubling of the harvest. And he said, then again, from 2025 to 2030, there would be a doubling. Then he came to me again the other day, and he said, in 2030, I will double you yet again. What is going to happen over the next decade is the greatest phenomenon this world has ever known. The greatest harvest of souls this world has ever known. Somebody said, well, Jesus could come back before then. Well, occupy till he comes. If he comes before then, I'll be on the first trip with you. All right, I'll just jump up with you. I ain't staying here. I'm going with Jesus. Amen. How many say, I'm going with Jesus? But I'm telling you what I see prophetically. They told me I was crazy when I started saying this stuff about 2020 in 1998. When I put two pairs of 3D glasses on Cindy Jacobs and Dr. Bill Hammond and laid hands on them, and they went out under the power of God, and I prophesied 3D vision for the church. They thought I was crazy as the youngest, one of the youngest of the prophets there. And now that I'm not so young, these 20-something years later, they might think I'm crazy now, but all I can tell you is we are seeing it fulfilled right now. The Brazilian president, our president, and President Trump will be elected again. He'll be brought into office again. I don't know what your party is, but you should be in a kingdom party. I can remember when I prophesied Obama would be elected. I had some people quit the church and they were mad. And then I prophesied Trump would be elected. They stopped being my friends and quit the church and leave. And it don't matter. I decided they weren't friends anyway. I can tell you, Trump will be in office again. And then the Lord says, he's been telling me recently, the Pence terms. So after him, he's been telling me, I've been hearing it. And in the Pence terms, he says, I have so much to do, so many great things to do, that after Trump, Pence will be in. I at least see Pence in 2024. That's as far as I've seen. But he calls it the terms. So now I'm believing it's more than one. Lift your hands. We will see the greatest harvest of souls. America, come on. Prayers being restored to schools. Abortion is being overturned. You were there. Some of you in this room were there in 2000, I think it was somewhere around 7, when I prophesied that the president after Obama would come and God would use him to undo the plight of abortion. You were there. We are in that hour. They're fighting with all their might right now. The enemy's moving with all of his might to stop it. They call it a woman's rights, but it ain't right. I'll go ahead and preach the truth. This is the hour. You're going to see full revival on the Mall of America. I saw it. I have to prophesy. I see people jumping up and down, like violently worshiping on the Mall of America, dancing. And I see President Trump and Vice President Pence, who will be the next president, I see them step out on the stage and bow their head like this and declare Jesus is Lord over our nation. I see it. I see it happening. I believe we'll take a load of people from Orlando in a buses, and we'll go to the Mall of America and we'll worship God boldly. I'm not talking about hallelujah. I'm not talking about one of those. I'm talking about crazy wild praise. You know what he said to me recently? He said, the stadiums aren't big enough. He said, so I will begin to fill fields with people and fields with my glory. And he took me walking over the heavens, over Dallas, and he said, I'm looking for a field. He said, find me a field. And I said, okay, God, I'll find you a field. Then he came back to me again, and he said, fill the field. And he said, if you fill the field with people, I'll fill it with my glory. And so I believe right here in Orlando, I believe all over America, fields, pastures, places like Woodstock will break out and praise God. Young and the old dancing together in fields. Do you receive that? Lift your hands. I hope you can see your part in it. Can you see yourself dancing amongst those young people? The young and the old dancing together. If you're young, can you see yourself dancing next to an older person? Come on. The young and the old are going to dance together. And we're going to bring in a great harvest. A great harvest. Why? Because the tabernacle of David is rebuilt. And when the tabernacle of David is rebuilt, all nations will come to Jesus. The mountain of the Lord's house will be established in the top of the mountains, and all nations will flow into it. Lift your hands up and give the Lord glory. Boy, I feel his anointing. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Wow. Wow. Just put your hands on your eyes. Say, Lord, give me eyes to see clearly. Give me 20/20 vision. Help me to see double. Help me to go double. Help me to give double so that I can get double. A double harvest of souls. A double harvest of supernatural signs and wonders. A double harvest of favor, of finances in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, put your hands together and give the Lord a shout of praise.